So today we're going to talk about how do we manage to run a thriving practice regardless of what the fees are of the people around me, regardless of whether all health insurance goes away, because there are people that are thriving in practice that are charging twice the amount that you're charging and are not accepting any insurance at all. And we're seeing these things starting to happen in Australia that have happened in and around the world as well.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Today, a session with just Tony, and I think I shouldn't say just, I know we're just. It's a session with us. We're going to have an interesting conversation today. In fact, an important and timely conversation. Right here in Australia at the moment, we've got a whole bunch of our practitioners that as of April next year.
Sometime early next year.
It is. Are going to be losing their private health insurance rights. So now for those of you that this, you might go, hey, listen, that doesn't affect me. I'm US based. I'm from Canada or wherever they're to, or maybe I'm not a naturopath. Here's why I want you to listen today. We're going to talk about how you can future-proof your practice so that you can practice independent of price. In fact, you can price-proof your practice as well. So many of us put ourselves under unnecessary and too much stress based around fees going up, or that, or as competition improves or increases as well. So today we're going to talk about how do we manage to run a thriving practice regardless of what the fees are of the people around me, regardless of whether all health insurance goes away, because there are people that are thriving in practice that are charging twice the amount that you're charging and are not accepting any insurance at all. And we're seeing these things starting to happen in Australia that have happened in and around the world as well. So if you're a naturopath in particular, some of our other alternate health practitioners, I want you to listen because we're going to talk you through a process that you can start to prepare. So come next year when, you know, if these health insurance rights get taken from you, it's not even a blip for you as well. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, it's just getting out of that cycle of relying on third-party payers and really standing out as a leader.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about an overarching principle first that I'll go through, and then we will take you through what we refer to as the six practice multipliers as well. And then we'll talk on each of those as well. And again, if you've got any questions after this episode, then head to the show notes page there too. We really want to make sure that you're well prepared with the changes that are happening next year, and they don't need to be a stress at all. So here's the first thing. So many of us have our practices that are really based, they're commodity. And so when things are a commodity, then they're very much price-driven. So a classic example of a commodity is milk and bread. So for so many families are going out that are buying milk and bread, they buy the ones that are the cheapest. Petrol is another one of those things, gas as people call it. So it's commodity driven. So as we're driving around, we're looking for which is the cheapest and we go. Now, if you're positioning your practice as a commodity where you're competing on price, then you've got yourself set up in a really tough position because there's only one place to go, and that's down. So as we continue to have to decrease our prices to become competitive, then we get to a stage that we're no longer profitable anymore. We get to a stage where there's a level of resentment because we don't feel like we're fairly rewarded as well. Now, there's a way for you to differentiate, and there's a way for you to get out of the commodity game into where you're positioning your practice on something different. Now, many of the concepts we're going to talk about to begin with come from this book here, Start With Why, Simon Sinek. If you want a small version of this, then go and find Simon Sinek's TED Talk. It's a less than 20-minute talk, and he gives you an overarching of this. But if you're serious about this, it's not a long book. You know, it's 250-odd pages. I think you should get the book here and read the book. So the way that we get ourselves out of a commodity is that we really need to start with why, hence the title of the book there. When we have a why inside or that sits behind our practice, then we can start to differentiate and we start to add real value. Now, the example he gives lots throughout this, he talks about Apple constantly. He's a huge Apple fan. Here's the interesting thing, because both Tony and I are massive Apple fans as well. Now, Apple has trained us. You know, I have their phone, I have a laptop, I have an iMac as well too, is that we're not trained to buy Apple based on price. They never have sales at all. So it's not like I'm waiting on them to have their yearly sale. I'm going to go along and buy the computer. We buy it because there's value that sits behind it. Apple has a story of why that sits behind it with think differently. They're not spending a lot of time talking about the features and the benefits of their products. So features and benefits talk to the logical part of our brain. This front, and we like to kind of talk about why you should come and see us, because we run on time, because we have this newest venues, we have the latest testing technologies, we have the best supplements, all those kind of things. You know, I've got these new fancy tables. This is what we think about, convenient hours, all those kind of things there too. But gang, when we make buying decisions, we really make buying decisions based on emotions, and then we justify it with logic. So last week, Lauren and I went along to see A Star Is Born, a movie. If you haven't seen it, then watch it. And it's such, for us, it was such an emotionally captivating movie. You know, there's this love story, there's heartbreak that goes through it, there's beautiful music. And then when someone says, what do you love about it? And even now I'm having a hard time communicating with you what I loved about it, because my emotional part, my limbic part of my brain is not what gives reasons. It's not even what talks to, you know, my language center. So we have a hard time, like, you know, Tony, why do you love your kids? It's hard to put into, it's an emotional thing there too. But when we can start to create emotions behind our practice. And so if you're a naturopath, so if you were to start to think about beginning with why, it could look like this, is that we believe that women are over-medicated and under-cared for. And we believe the foundation of women's great health is exercise, nutrition, and healthy lifestyle habits. And that's what we're passionate about helping to create in our community. That's a why behind your practice. You know, as a chiropractor, it might be something that, you know, along the lines of, we believe that movement is life, and at the very foundation of healthy movement is a healthy and optimal functioning spine and nervous system. So when we start to kind of communicate these whys behind, you know, Apple's why is often think differently. You know, when we begin with that and we communicate that message in absolutely everything that we do, before we start to talk about what we do, before we start to talk about how we do, we've now set the foundation for us to start to differentiate ourselves. We get ourselves out of the commodity game and we start to get ourselves into something different. Now, taking some time to think about that, because this might not come to you like that. It might take some time to think about, like, why do I really do this? Now, why do I get up every day? And this might be a powerful thing for you, not just from a marketing point of view, but when there's a why that sits behind things, it's a very different motivator. Tony and I have spent some real time over this last month getting even clearer about ADIO's why. And I'll share that with you here because you can get a gist of it too. We believe that we have a dying and decaying healthcare system that just flat out doesn't work. Again, we believe that our communities are over-medicated and over-surgeried as well. We know that the future of healthcare, what's causing all these healthcare problems is just really lousy lifestyles. We're stressed, we're not resting, we're not eating, we're not looking after our structure the way that we ought to. In our current healthcare system, they're not lifestyle experts. Our general practitioners, our surgeons, our hospitals, as wonderful as that skill set they have, they don't have a skill set to teach those kind of things. Us as natural health practitioners, that's where the skill set is. So we start to build from that too, and then goes into why. We know that if you're to have a real impact in your community, you need to be an influencer. If you're not an influencer, you're not going to be able to break through that noise and make a difference there too. So what we, and the reason why we exist as ADIO Media, is to help you become a community influencer. That's our why. Now that's very different from saying, look, as ADIO Media, what Tony and I do is teach digital marketing to healthcare practitioners. Like, that's what we do. But the why behind it is very different. And maybe you get a taste of that. It's very exciting for us to know that this is really what we're doing. But what is the why for you? You know, as you, whether you be a fitness trainer, a psychologist, whether you be a naturopath that has some of these changes going, what is it about? What are you passionate? Why was it that you said, you know, I want to be a naturopath? What, you know, was it part of, you know, previous failures that you've had beforehand? You know, we all have those patients that come into us that have been through the ringer again and again and again. When you find that why and you start to be able to articulate that why in everything, it's a great space to start. Now, from there, let's start to run that through our six practice multipliers and talk about that. Yeah, anything that you would add to?
I just think anyone that people find inspiring and they want to follow, there's always a bigger why behind it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what realm of life, what industry they're in. If you think about the people that you just go, oh, he is or she is on a mission. There's always a massive why behind it. And so we're going to get to that point where you can have a massive why. You have got a massive why, but again, as you said, it's about articulating it in a way that are going to get people to take action.
Yeah. Why is leadership? Mm. When we think of leaders that we admire, whoever it is for you, whether it be Mahatma Gandhi, you know, Nelson Mandela, there's a why behind it. So these are the ingredients that build you up to influence that come behind it there too. And when we've got that, then we start on practice magnifier number one, which is...
Wow. Pretty simple. Be good at what you do.
Yeah.
You know, we as a foundation point, Angus and I, with all our work that we do, we kind of have this assumption that at least you're going to be good at what you do. Now, I know there'll be some of you out there that go, you know what, maybe I'm not feeling confident with what I do. Maybe it's time for an upskill. Maybe it's time to actually put in some hours studying the people that you want to have coming into your practice. Do you need to take a new course? Do you need to just sit and read a few books on a certain topic? You know, there are some things that you can do to upskill. So we need to have the goods to deliver. You know, you beautifully used the analogy of the Ferrari. You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's actually a good car. Like, it actually does go fast, make loud noises, all the things that Ferrari people like. So first and foremost, practice multiplier number one, be good at what you do.
Yeah, so... Readers are leaders, gang. When was the last time inside of your practice, when was the last time that you read a book with regards to that? And if it's, you know, head on over to Amazon and, you know, what are the top selling books in this thing? You know, what courses can I do? Where can I inject some enthusiasm back in to be just being damn good at what? Because you can have a fabulous why that's encouraging and motivating. But if you don't have the skill set to be able to back it up, then, you know, when we talk about later on about building lifetime relationships, that's not going to happen if you can't help people get the result. So don't get overwhelmed with that. If you're not where you need to be right now, then, you know, the next 12, 14, 16 weeks, read some books, take some courses. There is so much information out there nowadays online that you can learn for free or for, you know, virtually nothing as well. But it has to be built upon that as well. Practice multiplier number two is that you need to be able to break through the noise by focusing on a very specific group of people. So it is incredibly noisy out there. We're exposed to more messages now than ever. You know, some say thousands, tens of thousands of messages each and every day. And so we have these filters on that, you know, many times we don't even see the ads anymore. We don't see the billboard. You know, we're going along to the movies, we're flicking through our phone. We see these ads on there, but we have filters that block through them. Unless there's something that pops in front of me that goes, that's for me. So you need to decide on who am I going to communicate? Because when you try and communicate with everyone, as we hear so many times, communicating with everyone ends up communicating with no one. It's, you know, not that I'm a fishing expert, but when you go fishing, people go, what are you fishing for today? Okay, well, today I'm going to fish for flathead. So you have a special bait for flathead. You have a special bait for snapper. We have different pieces of bait, so to use. And I'm meant to be crass with that term there too, but that's to attract our audience so we can communicate.
And we even might go to a different water for that fish as well.
Yeah, they're in different spots there as well. So, you know, I love it. You say it so well that when you're thinking about an audience that you want to work with, what are the two things that you often talk about?
Well, you want to make sure that you enjoy these people coming in, that you actually get inspired, motivated having these people coming in, and that you actually can help them. You actually get good results with these people. These are people that over your practicing career, you go, yeah, like I was really, really great at giving people help and assistance with headaches. So I'd love to have headache people coming in. You know, I don't want geriatric people with hip pain. Just not my gig. So make sure that you like these people and that you get great results.
Yeah, so whatever it is that floats your boat, it's all okay. But if you were able to work towards an extra 3, 4, 5 of these people coming and seeing you each week, predictably, would you be okay with that? And with time, when you build that community authority for one group, you can then start to put that onto other groups. But to begin with, then what you really want to do is you really want to focus on one group of people as you're moving forwards. Then that moves us on to practice multiplier number three. And this is all about building trust, authority, and expertise. So this trust is the language of the relationships that we want to be building for. It's the foundation of it. It's what's missing in so many messages that are going out to our community. The more people, gang, that know, like, and trust you, the more your phone is going to ring, the quicker your appointment book is going to build. So you need to be able to, in the messages that you're putting out into your community, whether it be by social media, whether it be by talks that you're doing, whether it be by information that you're sharing with your patients, needs to be all about orchestrating trust, authority, and expertise. And this is simpler than what you might think. The foundation of doing this, the best way for you to build trust with people is to help them in advance. You know, help people by actually helping them. So if we went back and we decided that, you know what, the audience that we're really going to focus on is women with hormonal problems. That's what I'm passionate about, because these hormonal problems is what underpin the fact that they can't lose some weight. They've got these kind of issues of their periods are inconsistent, their fertility problems, there's digestive problems, all those kind of things. So if that's the issue that you want to be helping people with, how could you help people in advance with that? Now, maybe you could put a video together that showed them all the personal care products that they have in their house that are disrupting their hormones. Maybe there's foods that screw with their hormones. You know, maybe there's some, you know, they shouldn't stop eating all these estrogen-driving foods. Now, I'm no expert on that. As you can see, I'm kind of scrambling for things now. But the fact inherently that you've chosen this audience, you should be an expert on it. If you can't take, you know, we often kind of talk about the sad to happy.
Yep.
So we've got somebody over here that's suffering, that's unhappy, whose life sucks. You know, they've got all their hormonal problems. And we've got this person over on the other side here that life is fabulous now. All their problems are gone. What are the steps that they need to go through? You know, they need to change their rest, their eating habits. They need some supplementation. Do they need some detoxing? What things can you help that person begin with before they even come in and see you? Because when...
And that, I was just going to say, you know, just to clear it up there for people, when you say helping them in advance, you know, I guess that's the point, isn't it? It's helping them before they even make a decision to become a patient or a client or a practice member of yours. It's putting great stuff out that, as you said, just takes them on that next little step to being happy Helen rather than sad Helen.
Yeah, and so this is powerful. And it can be scary at times because you want to go, but if I give them all my best stuff, they won't come and see me. It couldn't be further from the truth. And we've tested this time and time again. The more you help somebody, the greater the trust grows. They're going to want to come and see you for personal help. There's things and skill sets that we have as practitioners that can only be done when we're one-on-one. Like, if I go back to me as a chiropractor and really wanting to help people with their posture, I got to talk to them about their stress, their sleeping, their sitless, but I can't do an adjustment over a video. You know, there are some things people sometimes just need an adjustment. And there are probably things that, again, you know, we're focusing lots on naturopaths because we want to make sure they have this sorted here too. There's testing that has to happen inside your practice. But you can get them started with, you know, the personal care things they can get rid of. You can have them understanding these things. And as this starts to happen, it leads us into kind of step number four, which is all about playing the long game. So what do we mean by that?
Well, I think the best way to get that across is the dating analogy. You know, not walking into a bar and asking someone to marry you. This is about saying, we're not putting out offers that say half price consultation, come in now. This is about consistently giving value, consistently putting out content through whatever medium is going to be right for the person that you want to have coming in, so that they're sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. This Tony dude, he is so cool, helpful. He knows his stuff. I like him. I trust him. Then I might want to go and do business. But that might be after 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 pieces of content, or what we call touch points, seeing a website, going over to the Facebook page, you know, reading a blog. It might be listening to an interview. It might be listening to a podcast. And then they say, you know what, I'm going to go and see him. You know, he's already helped me thus far, but imagine how good it'll be when I actually go and see him.
So given that trust is at an all-time low and we're constantly looking for we're waiting to be sold or gotcha when we're looking on Facebook and Instagram, those kind of things that took. Wicked Report's a mob that kind of analyzes, ad spend, looked at tens of millions of dollars spent, and they found on average it took 43 days. So 43 days from when someone was first exposed to you to when they were happy getting on the phone and making an appointment or making a sale as well. So out of all of these 6 points through here, if you just play the long game, so often we'll hear people go, I tried this Facebook advertising, it didn't work. Yeah, what did you do? I whacked some ads on there and no one came in. I went, yeah, that's like going to a bar and asking every guy, girl, the first time you meet them to ask you to marry you. It's not going to work. And as we've said many times, the people that it works for are not the ones that you want to be marrying anyway. So it's a long game. But here's the cool thing about the long game is that once you start that long game up and going, there might not be much that happens for that first 43, 45 days or so, the two. But then every week from there forwards, there are people coming through this funnel, for lack of a better word, that they're starting to build their way into your practice as well. And it's not like this is all automated. Okay, this is not like you have to be having these processes. And you know what? Man, if you're not prepared to put in 43 days, the average there too, then you know what? When next year comes around or when the future comes around and the pressure gets on because of price, then it will impact you. Okay, this is not some magic trick that we're looking at too. Running a successful business is like having, you know, good health. There's no shortcuts. It's day in, day out, day in and day out. But these strategies, I mean, we had an interview earlier on today where a great chiropractor, you know, had implemented these strategies, went from kind of his best months being 15 grand of collections to well up consistently over 50 grand. So that's worth putting in some time.
Yeah. And future-proofing your practice. So that if these things come into place that you've been relying on, you no longer need to rely on them because you're now positioning yourself at the top of the pile.
Yeah,
so and people will pay whatever price.
So someone's not saying, look, I come and see Tony's just raised his prices by another $5. You're coming because Tony is the expert. Mm. He's the authority. I buy in, I connect with his why. It's not just because he's the cheapest chiropractor in town. Again, we come back to it. Positioning yourself as a commodity on price is what sets us up for this. So we need to start to work our way through those. So
practice multiplier number five, probably my favorite and probably one that is not spoken about much in marketing, which is just fostering lifetime relationships with people. And it's, again, kind of ties into the playing the long game. But this is the bunch of people that already think you're awesome. How do we keep them thinking you're awesome? How do we keep you at the top of their mind, keeping you relevant to them in their life, in their family's life, in their friend's life? And the results can be astronomical. For dollar spend, ridiculous return.
Yeah.
If we can up our attention by 5 visits, 10 visits, it just goes crazy. The numbers are ridiculous, gang. For a dollar in, you're going to get multiples back. It's,
And often the things that help to foster this lifetime relationship, again, really strong heart-centered things. You know, I had a patient of mine last week who finished up work and, you know, she was nervous about it, this next phase of her life as she was retiring. And it's as simple as I just sending a text message the day afterwards saying, sending love, Lena. I hope everything went great and I'm excited this next phase for your life there too. And then this lovely long, you didn't have to do that. That was lovely to do. In fact, Tony Croke gave a talk at a conference we're at recently. Getting those response from our patients where they say this, oh, Tony, you didn't have to do that. You go, well, yeah, I did have to because this is what it's all about. Flowers on birthday cup, but really meaningful
because things. You want to.
Yes.
Not because you feel you should.
Yeah, it's not that I've talked to Tony, build relationship, put hand on through here. You know, it's genuine compassion, care, empathy for our practice members. And again, most of these things don't cost money. They take a little bit of time that you can bring in those human factors. So what are you doing to continue to foster that lifetime relationship? Because the people who've come and seen you at the past, they're the ones that will come and see you again and again and again. And the more we now some of those people are going to die, they're going to move away, things are going to happen. So we always want to have that funnel coming through there. But we need to be putting a significant amount of energy in continuing to look after the people that are already there. How do you make yourself irreplaceable? How do you make yourself a part of that person's healthcare team where they wouldn't even, you know, they'd think about, you know, downsizing another part of their life as opposed to coming for their quarterly naturopathic visit, their monthly chiropractic, whatever it is that your schedule of kind of following up from there as well. Anything else to add to that?
I just, you know, people's lives get busy. They need to be reminded that you are relevant and important in their life.
Mm.
And if you're not reminding them, they get distracted.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's sometimes it's just as simple as that.
So sometimes with our chiropractic office, we make sure that we're, regularly, at least every 2 weeks, making new content for them. That might be a Facebook Live. It might be another video series that Dr. Kirby and I put together. And we send it to them, remind them the importance of, you know, looking after their spine. It's being constantly being cool and helpful for them so we can move forward. So step number six, we talk about this concept of a growth mindset. So here's what's going to happen. As you start to implement all these things, what I can promise you is this, is there will be moments of roadblock and moments of failure. And in the when I went back to, are you continuing to learn? Get a hold of Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K. She's a psychologist out of Stanford University. She wrote a book called Mindset. And she talks about this concept of a growth mindset, which is really this. How do we deal with things when there is challenge and failure in front of us? And she says it's basically one of two groups that people get into. One where that failure and that roadblock is final. It's, I can't get past, it's overwhelming. Every time I do something new, this comes up, we get exhausted and we go back. And there's the other group that have this growth mindset there that are able to simply take it as a learning experience. Like, ah, that didn't work. Next. Now, when you start to implement a growth mindset, you know, things change enormously because there will be hurdles. You'll make a video or you want to make a video and it might not work. And maybe it doesn't take you 43 days to get those new patients. Maybe it takes you 60. But if you have that fixed mindset, which is the opposite, you're going to stop instead of saying, you know what, I know there's a way. People are doing it. You know, Angus and Tony, you know, you'll reach out to us. Let us help you, you know, through this cycle here too. But one of the most important operating systems through running all this stuff is this concept of having a growth mindset to be able to deal with that.
Ah, well put, well put. It's roadblock, growth. Roadblock, growth, as opposed to stumble, fall.
Yeah, and for those of you who are parents, please read this book. Please talk to these about these concepts to your kids as well. It may well be one of the most valuable things that you can ever have them be aware of moving forwards as well. So in a summary, gang, just to if you have these challenges coming forwards, and they are challenges, but if you deal with them, if you run this framework through, by the time things kick around next year or in the future where that is for you, you can be in a very different place. There's enough warning sign. Start with this. Get really clear about what the why is behind your practice. And I want this. The why is ever developing. So this is not about you having to have it crystal clear right now, nailed perfect that you're going there too, but start to find a deeper reason in behind why what you want to do there too. Then work our way through these six practice magnifiers. So the first of which is be good at what you do. Do you need to upscale from there? The second is what we want you to think about is start to focus on a smaller niche as well. The third?
Build trust in advance. You know, position yourself as the expert.
Start helping people as you're moving forwards. Fourth was play the long game. Okay, this is a process. You didn't get your degree overnight. Great relationships, you know, intimate relationships, family relationships aren't built overnight. It's all about playing the long game.
And then foster those lifetime relationships. You know, what can you do to keep relevant in people's lives over the long term?
Yeah, and finally, it's all about having that growth mindset as well. Implement these, work forwards. Now, if you want a summary handout with these as well, then head to the show notes page there as well. Mm-hmm. I've got a summary handout of these six practice multipliers that we talked through. You can score yourself through those. Where do I need to kind of work on? And again, there'll be room underneath there for you to ask us questions if you want some help with regards to things. I've given you a couple of books to read. I'll have links to those in the show notes as well. So that will start with Why Simon Sinek. I'll put a link there to the TED Talk as well. And then Mindset from Carol Dweck. So as always, gang, we love what you do. We know that being a health practitioner, particularly for us that are natural alternate health practitioners, there's walls that we come up against all the time there. So I appreciate all that you do. We're thankful for it. And we believe it's be groups like us that make a difference to the health of our communities as well. Keep saving lives. We look forward to seeing you next time back on whatever our next podcast is as well. So anything else, Steve?
No. All good, buddy.
All right. Love you, gang. See you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Live.